Dear Shooter, spring is upon us and that means it's time to get to the range. The Jasons have been taking advantage of the warm weather to get back into shooting form and testing out new goodies, making them happy in very dangerous ways.
But they did state that when these guns are put together with different pieces or whatever, it's like an organ transplant.
Yeah, no. I got an F in shooting once.
It's a perishable skill.
Quitting?
Yes. My favorite death threat I ever got, the guy left his email address on.
He's just going to make it rain in Spanish, that's all.
Here's 20 cents, here's 20 cents, here's 20 cents. Wow, you just made that
clip on. It's not a strap on.
2 weeks for all that? That isn't training, that's camp.
You couldn't read a brochure on all that shit in that time.
Prepare to enter the space where nothing is safe, nothing is sacred, and offensive conversation is encouraged. Welcome to the Deer Shooter Podcast and your hosts, Jason Wilson, Brandy, and Jason Croteau.
I guess that means it's Thursday. And, of course, we're sitting here talking about springtime and the warm weather. And we're supposed to get snow tonight?
Yeah, we got about 3 hours.
We got snow last night. It just didn't stay.
Right. We've had snow like almost every day this week, but it never stays.
Welcome to spring.
Schizophrenic weather.
Well, and we haven't had our Easter storm yet. That's coming.
I like the fact that it was 73 degrees the day before it snowed 2 inches.
Right.
You can count on that you can't count on it.
Yeah, which does make it difficult to get to the range. This nice, wet, heavy snow and turns the roads into soup.
I just have to go prepared. I mean, I take the light jacket, the rubber jacket, the winter jacket, a set of gloves, two different types of boots. You have to go for it all.
Tire chains?
I do have them. Yeah, matter of fact.
Have you switched out from your snow stuff to your, like, summer stuff?
I don't do that.
I don't change. June. There's no change.
No, I do that in June.
He does need to change because 1 year we went hunting and he never swapped his summer stuff back to his winter stuff. And so we had to dig him out of a snowdrift with oars.
Kayak oars.
Hey,
it worked.
It works. I mean.
But yeah, that was a big day.
We live in Wyoming and we go play in the mountains. The winter stuff and the summer stuff doesn't change.
Yeah. July, June.
Not even then.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen snow on 4th of July.
True.
So
it's usually not feet of it, though. It's not debilitating.
Well, no, but still, like, it's cold.
Well, this is true.
So you were out over the weekend testing a couple of 22s.
Yeah, I had done some smithing and some upgrades to a couple of my rifles, and it was time to break them back out and play with them a little bit. One of them is the one I mount night vision on and go shoot things in dark.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is a gun I picked up with the best of intentions to turning it into a chassis 50-yard bench gun. And then I never really shot it much. I mean, it shoots well, but I haven't actually spent time with it. So I was feeling guilty about neglecting it. And with 22s, I have learned over the years that it's not the optic. It's not the gun. Often it's the shooter, but more often than that, it's your selection of ammunition. You can have the best gun on the planet, some of the best mechanics I've ever seen, and run the wrong ammunition and shoot a minute of watermelon.
Yeah. Hey, your rimfire has always been finicky.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of that comes because we're so used to historically, it was just, you know, 9mm, you just buy a brick of it, it's just cheap. And it's just, it's not high quality stuff. It's especially coming from the world that we do with the precision rifles, mm-hmm. where that ammo is tuned. Rimfire, you don't get that.
Well, I don't know anybody that reloads it just because it is a pain in the butt to put that paste down into the rim and then load on top of that. I'm sure there's some psychotic dude out there in Montana in somebody's basement doing it, but I don't know anybody that does it. So it is kind of what you get out of the box. It is factory ammo only on that discussion.
Yeah. You're right. There is a psychotic out there that's reloading.
Somebody's doing
rim fire,
but I'm not that guy.
I'm not even sure how the process of that would work.
Well, I went and toured the CCI factory one time, and I got to watch them load 22. And it is fascinating. It's really high tech. They have this beautiful piece of brass and the wooden stick. And they take a little bit of paste out of this tray and stick it down into the brass until the stick is, you know, properly set. And then they pull it out. And if anything still sticks to the stick, they push it back down in the piece of brass till everything stays inside the brass. So it's not incredibly metered like you would think it is. And that's just the priming compound. That's for the rim, right? And then they send that down to another line where the guy puts powder on and another guy puts, you know, projectiles on. And then there's a guy that crimps it. And
right.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's not super high tech when you look at what we do for centerfire.
Right.
I mean, they're not turning necks and they're not trimming brass and they're not agonizing over the powder charge. And the primer's kind of, well, this is good enough. So rimfire is a whole different animal. And we always say buy your ammunition in lots, right?
Right.
If you're going to buy, you know, a small box of it, and you might get away with some good stuff. But if you're going to shoot and you're going to expect that gun to perform the same time, all the time, you got to buy the same ammunition in a lot.
But would that really work with 22 if it's that kind of haphazard?
Well, it comes down to whether your rifle likes that or not. So I've got a U.S. shooting team 10-22, and it shoots incredibly well if I feed it the Wolf ammo.
That's odd because Wolf is not really known for being high quality.
And interestingly enough, this ammo came off the Lapua line.
Okay.
So, it's actually really good ammo. It's in the same category as the Gold Box and the SK stuff.
Right.
It's good, but it's all subsonic at that point. The high-velocity stuff's when you really see your deviations. I've got 20, 25 different rifles and pistols that shoot rimfire, and all of them shoot something just a shade different. I've got ones that will not eat anything match grade. You throw it a CCI or a Federal Stinger, and it shoots it wonderfully. But I've got some that if you try and throw anything high velocity down it, you're not hitting a pumpkin at 50 yards.
Yeah.
So it's ammo on rimfires.
I mean, I think between Brandy and I, I think we have four 22s. You have your, 1939 Cadet?
34.
34. And that thing, that's a tack driver.
With the right ammo.
With the right ammo.
It's very choosy about the ammo.
We sat down with five different varieties of ammunition the day that she got that, went to the range, and at 50 yards, she had a nice grouping with some of the Federal high-velocity stuff that was about 2 inches. That's not going to cut it for that gun.
No.
And we started playing with the ammo, Ely match, Ely club. Didn't really like it. You know, those groups shrunk to about an inch, inch and a half. But then you threw the SK stuff, the Gold Box in it. It's subsonic, kind of lubed up match ammo, and it turned into a single hole machine.
Mm-hmm. And this was open sights at 50 yards.
The only thing you changed there was ammo.
Right. Right. I mean, because we got the Mark IV. And that's kind of, that's like the pest gun.
Coons.
Yeah, raccoons. It works really well on asshole roosters.
And what are you expecting on the accuracy out of your pest gun?
Quite a bit actually, because the raccoon thing, it was attacking my dog and they were in this full-blown roll.
Oh, nice.
So it had to be timed to hit the raccoon and not the dog.
I thought you did that with your 380.
No, I did that. With the 22.
Oh.
So what do you feed this thing?
Subsonic, like the Remington subsonic stuff.
Okay.
But, I mean, you're talking, you know, when I've had to go out and kill chickens or whatever, because I always try to just hit them in the head, be done with it, which is a small, very erratic target. Mm-hmm. If you but you're talking a distance of 10 yards, maybe.
Right. So, I mean, you don't necessarily need that high velocity, 1,400 feet a second.
No.
You can still get away with 1,000 feet a second, the 10-25 stuff, but it likes it. Yeah. It shoots, you know, you put them all inside a bottle cap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's a good choice of ammo for that gun.
Yeah, and then I've got the standard. You got to have the Ruger 10/22.
Yep.
Everybody's got to have one.
You know, I've got five of those, and they all shoot something different.
But mine doesn't seem to care, but I did upgrade the barrel and the stock to SB Tactical.
Okay, good choice.
It is shot incredibly well. In fact, I went 100% on Appleseed with it.
Wow.
1 year.
Well, and I got a buddy, he shoots a local club match every Monday, and those old boys get kind of competitive. And one of them one day brought an Anschutz target rifle into the match.
Ooh.
And he did really well. So the next time, my buddy Bruce decided he was going to build himself a custom 22. And he pulled out all the stops. Did you know that there's an action out there named Turbo? And they have two firing pins. It strikes the rim in two spots at the same time.
Okay.
So it gets a more even burn on that rim fire paste.
Okay.
That's a $900 action.
Jesus.
Okay. He put a $500 barrel on it. He dropped it into a custom stock that he had a guy inlet and make for him. So there's another $600.
And let me guess, at the end of all of this, it doesn't shoot.
No, at the end of all this, it shoots incredibly well. So well, a matter of fact. That you have to walk down and look at the backer to see that all the bullets are going not through, like, the same hole.
Okay.
And it shoots really, really well. But when you're shooting an aspirin-sized target at 50 yards, and, you know, it's for bragging rights and the winner gets a gourd, I mean, it's a really big competitive thing.
I think that's a Wyoming thing. I don't think every city out there is giving out gourds, and that's in the fall usually.
Well, you took second that day, and they had to make sure you took a gourd.
It was required. I was like, no, I have my own garden. They're like, you must take one.
But, well, that's the thing in any rural area, because everybody gardens, and what do you have tons of? Zucchini and pumpkins and squash and, yeah. Right.
So, yeah, this weekend was my day to get my rimfires back out and play with them a little bit and be humbled by the wind because they're very susceptible.
Well, I went out, and so I sighted in a rifle that I had built over the winter, and it was a complete new build, just AR. Got it sighted in, but then I took out my baby, my recce rifle, because that's the one that the cats knocked off of the bench and... Busted the stock and bent the scope. Well, I got a new stock, and I bent the scope back straight, and I went to go check zero and found out that that's not happening.
when the glass rattles, it's probably not helpful.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, that scope has actually been through a lot. It's been blown up once, true. And it held zero.
True.
But, yeah, no, the concrete floor from 4 feet, finally did it in.
There's only so many lives a scope has.
You've pushed that one about as far as I think anybody I've had pushes a recreational optic.
Well, yeah. And the thing about it is I could probably still use it on a non-critical gun.
So you can see through it.
Yeah. I mean, it'd probably be all right on something I was using short range, whatever. Might slap it on a 22.
Probably work just fine.
But for... For that rifle, I needed something. I just put a new one on.
Fair enough.
What sucks is I had to put it on and repaint it all. And,
you know, and as a guy who makes this stuff for people to buy, I thank you.
Well, you know.
I need to pay your cats and treats or something for knocking it off the counter.
I'm just going to send them to your house.
Now, that's not very nice talk.
But, no, I've been doing that. I've been... have a lot of fun packages showing up, sponsors for the PDN training tour.
Oh,
so,
all right.
The idiots at UPS put... So yesterday, we get two boxes on the porch. One is popcorn that Brandy bought.
It's popcorn. It was to sponsor a child or something. Yes. It was some sort of fundraising thing for his horses.
Okay. Well, so the UPS guy puts that box on the bottom... And then throws 1,000 rounds of 9mm on top of it.
Well, reading comprehension is not a requirement for the UPS drivers. Because I'm looking at the box of popcorn, and it says, popcorn inside, don't stack. It's double good, and it's raising joy. So obviously, this is popcorn.
Yeah.
Because it says popcorn.
And the box, and the box he put on top of it, on the side, in big bold letters, says Freedom Munitions.
And we know it's he knows it's heavy. He had to pick it up to put it on my porch.
It's got the stupid ORMD sticker.
Well, he carried it. He knew what the hell was in it.
I'm sorry. It doesn't matter what's in it. It was heavy. And the first box said, do not stack.
So in your popcorn, we have popcorn chips, not popcorn anymore? Is that what I'm hearing?
Crumble.
Crumble.
It's crumble.
It's going to be really good on pancakes. I don't know.
I see popcorn balls in your future.
Right?
Ick.
But, no, a couple other things that have shown up. So I got a sight pusher tool from Real Avid.
Going to do a lot of gunsmithing?
Well, suppose...
That's one of those specialty tools, man.
It is. And I was kind of looking at it. I haven't even really taken it out of the package yet, but I was looking at it a little bit. I'm waiting until the rest of the stuff gets here because I want to do this kind of an unboxing video and do all that. But I was looking at it. One of the things I noticed, because I have the Wheeler version, the sight pusher, and one of the things that always bothered me about it is the jaws on it are wide. So you can't, especially when you're using this on a front sight, you can't just push on the dovetail. You actually have to push on the sight post. And that always bothered me. Well, the Real Avid, the jaws on this thing narrow and taper right there at the end. So you're going to be able to get on that dovetail.
And some of these sight posts, they're kind of fragile because they're holding a fiber optic light tube.
I know. And I ask me how I know. I have bent the high-vis ones.
And that's what you're installing because Hi-Vis is also
a... Hi-Vis is a sponsor. I do have a set of sights from them.
So you're going to custom trick out your Canic?
I got a Canic coming. I believe it's the Prime.
Okay. And their sights are just standard factory sights? There's nothing special?
Well, the Prime's supposed to have the tritium sights on, which kind of makes me upset because I think I'm going to like those sights better.
So what obligation are you to actually swap the sights?
It has to be used, photographed, and in students' hands.
Well, I don't necessarily have to use the sights on that gun.
See, now you're starting to speak some Spanish that I'm liking. Because if the gun comes and it's right from the company...
Yeah, I'm not going to screw with it.
Leave that alone.
Right. That was my thought. Is like,
but then that opens up another question. What are you going to do with those new sights?
I'm sure I have a pistol sitting around that could use a new set of sights.
Now, those dovetails aren't specific to models or... You're going to be hemmed into a very specific set.
That one, I think, will do... Those sights are supposed to fit like 8 different guns.
And we own like 9,000 9mm, so he's bound to find one.
I'm sure
so
I've got
of
one.
Of the 8, he's probably got one or two?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Or all 8.
Yeah, I mean, hell, if nothing else, I might put him on that Ruger RXM.
That would be interesting. Sounds like an excuse to buy a new gun, too.
Well, there's that, too. And I don't know if Canic is sending me one or two. There were two guns that they were talking about. Since they sent me one last year, I may only get the one. I don't know.
Well, I will tell you, it does spark the idea from a creative mindset of now you have the opportunity and the tools. You should do a video series of what's the pro do with a budget gun?
Oh, we can do that.
Right? I mean, budget gun.
Yeah.
I mean, dance above High Point, maybe, but not too far. There's got to be another option out there, and some sort of Glock clone that you could modify.
The Live Free.
The SCCY.
Wow. Okay, we're going to go a little bit better than High Point.
I thought they were. They come in cow print.
Oh, my gosh. Moo. Yeah.
I thought that was the Hell Cow.
No.
I did see a Hell Cow, so they are doing that. You're not being funny. That's real.
Well, I don't know if they're doing that at the factory, but I have seen a couple people do it since they came out with that. I think that was an April Fool's last year.
That's so funny.
But I was all over that. I was like, I could do a Hell Cow.
I want to see you do a class with a Hell Cow.
Oh, I'd rock it.
Yeah.
Those Hellcats
not
are nice.
As an instructor, as a student.
Oh, yeah, still, I'd rock it.
In Pincus's class.
I've done worse.
Well, you've made Rob do worse. I mean, I hear a story about him with a High Point with missing its front sight.
You know, he pushed my buttons, and I was there working the counter at Reno Gun Club for Lucid Optics, and I got behind the counter, and he goes, give me something that'll give me a challenge. done.
She hands him a high point with no front sight. And then...
I'm so proud right now.
We proceed to go out to the range because as we were doing an instructor development class. And while the students were taking their test and doing their thing, all of us instructors, we went and did a shooting challenge. And he was shooting next to me, and with this stupid high point, not only did he beat me by like freaking half a centimeter, but he ejects his brass right down my collar.
Oh, God. That's
so
not
who
nice.
Was I really after?
I think you covered both boxes there. Well done.
I'm amazing like that.
But back to the real thing here. You need to build a budget gun, videotape the entire process, right, of selection, the agony of, well, what can I get into that I can modify that doesn't really break the bank?
Well, what we do is we do like a grand tour thing, like give me a budget.
Right.
You know, and I would be curious, like, all right, shoot us an email, like give us a reasonable, like, what are we thinking here? Like 400 to 600 bucks?
I'm thinking total gun with modifications doesn't go over 400 bucks.
Okay.
That includes a box of ammo.
I could probably swing that. So I mean,
if you have people who want to get a hold of us to tell you what to do, which would be amazing.
Yeah.
They can do it at hosts@deershooter.com, or they can go to our website, and there's a contact form.
And I will tell you, I've done this evolution with a rifle, and if you do it correctly, you will get death threats.
Oh, yeah. Well.
How dare you tell people that this can be done?
Well,
So the steel challenge in Rollins is in July. So he needs to build this budget gun, get it going, and go place at the steel challenge with it.
Well, I mean, I hate to say
that would be awesome.
Live Free's already done it. Their Falcon 9X, it retails for, I think, $379.
Okay, but what are you going to modify that to? And you're going to turn it into a race gun. If you're going to go do the steel challenge, I think you need to turn this into something that can play with the boys.
Why?
To show that they don't need to go out and buy a Staccato.
Well, that's why. Yeah, why would I modify it?
Well, because
if I can go down there,
I want you to compete in the open class.
Okay, fine. Well, it's still that doesn't matter.
You not the production class, the open class.
Well, I'll run it open.
Oh my God, that'd be fun.
I mean, it at the end of the day, the gun is the tool. Like it's the shooter that makes it run.
I totally agree with you. And to go in place with a sub-$500 gun.
Well, yeah, because most of these guys are rocking somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000 guns.
And then to keep it real, use Wolf ammo.
The aluminum cased shit.
Oh, no, I don't want to induce a malfunction. I'm not inviting problems
I'm hearing
here.
Excuses already.
No,
so,
but I'm not going to invite a problem.
I don't know. Can the regular everyday guy go and get into this on a budget?
I don't see why not.
I've done it with a rifle, and it can be done. Did a 1,000-yard shot for under $1,000. Total kit. Got death threats over it. Now let's do the steel challenge game. And then I think somewhere in our future is a 3-gun setup.
3 guns for what?
$1,500.
Yeah, I think you could do it. It'd be tight, but you could.
You talk
do
to
it.
Competitors, and they say you can't be competitive unless you're buying a $4,000 AR.
Oh, I know. I know.
I mean, we've had the guy on the show.
You remember that?
Right? This opens up all kinds of conversations, discussions about marketing lines and practicality. But you just need to prove it can be done, and I think it's great content.
Mm-hmm. 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 No, it'll be fun, and I don't know what's. I've seen the Ruger, their new RXM. I've seen that sub-$500. I think I've seen it around four, a couple of places.
If you don't have to do anything to it, that's even better.
Yeah, well, and most of the Canics, I was actually kind of shocked because when we were at SHOT, Brandy fell in love with their Signature series. Which
I still don't have.
I'm working on it.
Oh. It is a pretty gun.
Well, you know what? You need to call our buddy, and you need to hound on him, too. He's getting probably getting tired of hearing from me. But if you call him, things go into motion when you get involved.
Now, are you going direct to Canic, or are you dealing through a distributor?
You have to go through a distributor. When I called Canic about it, they told me those are exclusively through distributors.
Who's the distribution? Who has it?
Xander's.
I'm working on Xander's, but...
we have a guy there.
Yeah, we do have a guy.
That's who we've been talking to, and it's not going anywhere. Now, he said he wasn't getting them. Now, Xander's is not the largest distributor. So, because you said Lipsy's had them. Xander's hadn't received any yet. So, it could be they get an allotment based on their size and
that
volume.
That might be. And he thought that they might have them late spring, early summer.
We're there, so,
in which state?
We just started spring like a week and a half ago.
No, it's winter today. We're starting over on spring.
Well, I talked to a guy today in Georgia. It's summer.
Well, in Georgia, maybe. But not here.
Right. But we're there. I mean, TikTok.
Well, I got a time frame. I'm thinking June, July is probably when we're going to see
this. Hey, if you can't get it done, we'll pull your wife in. It'll be fine.
That's right. Hey, I'm all for it because he's probably getting sick of hearing from me. And speaking of getting sick of hearing from me, we'll be right back.
When it comes to your personal security, you want the best, and your training shouldn't be an exception. WyoTac is your one stop for all of your education and training needs, covering competitive, defensive, and hunting classes, as well as medical, fieldcraft, and survival courses. With over a decade of experience and with a network of resources, WyoTac can help to meet your goals. When no one is coming, you have to rely on yourself. Make sure you know what to do when the time comes. WyoTac. Empowerment through self-reliance.
If you haven't tried 10th Mountain Whiskey, can you even call yourself a shooter? Okay, Mr. AK guy that only drinks vodka. 10th Mountain has that too. Still too much? Maybe that cordial would suit your unrefined palate. But for you real pipe hitters out there, the single malt can't be beat. Whiskey is an acquired taste. And if you don't like whiskey, I suggest you acquire some taste. Just enter Dear Shooter at checkout for 15% off your order. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits Company. It's whiskey worth fighting for.
All right, but back to the Canics, okay? I was actually really surprised at the affordability of Canics because they are good guns.
They are not Firebird rated, but they are good guns.
Well, do you have one that is?
No, probably not.
I forgot that was a Canic that...
And to be fair, it tells you not to stack multiples, and he stacked like 8 of them on the box with the Canic in it.
Not only that, but he directed the blast because he stacked them inside of a, I think it was a monster can or something.
Rob Pincus can't read.
Yeah, but when a guy sees the instructions, don't do this, you're like, ho, 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 ho.
That's being happy in dangerous ways.
Right. And then, that was a fun day at the range because I'm 4 benches away. And Rob goes, hey, Wilson, is that rifle on? I go, yeah. He goes, shoot the black dot underneath that over there. So I did. And it launched that damn safe and gun into orbit.
Oh, yeah.
It came down with Russian signatures from the space station. It was crazy.
But, well, what was cool, though, and, of course, nobody knew that he'd thrown this gun in the safe and then blew it up. I remember you took the shot. The look on your face was priceless because this thing launched into orbit and you realized what had just happened. And you kind of had the, uh-oh.
Well, we're at the Whittington Center. And while a little bitty single firewood pop here and there is no big deal, this shook the earth. And we found parts of that gun, along with parts of the safe, in a... 400-yard radius.
Yeah.
The gun was actually found, the frame, in the tree on top of the berm. That was 200 yards away from the where it was placed.
Well, what was impressive to me, though, was he was able to take that slide, put it on another frame, and it still ran.
A testament to the Canic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, truly. The first gun was hosed.
That frame was gone.
With a donor frame, it ran just fine.
Duct tape and baling wire. It'll be right.
Fair enough.
Not going to hold the magazine anymore.
That was the day that I went, I need to spend more time looking at the Canic.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was kind of impressive. Then he put it back together. We all shot it. I made hits at 50 yards with a handgun. which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, take a look at the Koenig. They're worth it.
They are. And even, you know, most of them are running that somewhere between $450 to $550 is what I'm seeing out in the wild. Even their signature series, which is a limited edition, they do one every year. I want to say that they quoted me like $750 for that.
I was expecting a lot more because they had it at SHOT Show underneath the glass and lights swirling around it. And I'm like, whoa.
and it's not a base model, let's say. I mean, this thing's tricked out and it's a full-size race gun.
I saw the gun you're looking at and it is pretty. It's definitely jewelry.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
She just wants it because it's blue.
Well, and she's getting a pretty good collection of pretty blue ones.
Yeah, I know. I got to stop contributing to that.
That's how we know whose guns are whose. His are red, mine are blue.
And
yours are blue, mine are beat up.
I do remember you were building a competition rifle.
Uh-huh.
And you ordered a chassis.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know why you selected blue as your color, because as soon as that showed up, I knew that was going to be hers.
I think when I started that whole process subconsciously, I think I knew that was the direction it was going to go anyway.
Yeah, but when your gun didn't fit in it, and now we had a project, it kind of worked out, because that's a shooter.
Oh, yeah. That is a nice gun. That's your 6.5 PRC. And it's pretty. It is very pretty. I got to hand it to PD Customs.
Yeah, he does a pretty good job, if you can get him to do it.
You do have to kind of keep on him. But
he does spend a lot of time on Facebook, though, so you can talk to him.
Right. So, all right. In the wacky world, switching gears, ADD moment.
Okay. Yep.
I came across an article today that just made me laugh. Acting U.S. Attorney Michael Simpson argued in front of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals that suppressors are not arms protected by the Second Amendment.
Okay.
And so, I thought, wait a minute.
And then I
thought, he might be on to something.
Well, and my wheels just started turning, so go ahead and finish your statement.
Well, I get where he's trying to go with this, right? This guy is a holdover from George W. Bush era. Like, that's how long this guy's been around. But he's trying to argue that they're not protected under the Second Amendment because they are not arms. Well, you're right. They're a safety device and should not be regulated by the Second Amendment.
Well, I don't need a driver's license to have a muffler on my car. So I'm tracking with his logic here. But was he arguing the non-protection underneath the Second Amendment to try and keep them listed? Or was he trying to get them delisted?
No, he was trying to get them banned is what he's trying to do.
Well, it didn't make a very good argument then.
No.
Well, they're not all smart.
Because if you want something banned, you got to make the case that it's dangerous, that it's evil, nefarious in ownership. That's something you ban, right?
Well, it gets really hot.
It does get hot. You do need oven mitts at sometimes to handle them. But that's not necessarily evil.
You know, a funny thing you say that, because I think most of the oven mitts that we have say silencer shop on them. Because they send you the oven mitt when
they know
when you
what's going to happen, right? They're just hedging their insurance so you don't get in trouble for burning.
And just so y'all know, it's amazing for cookie sheets in the oven.
Oh, they're great.
Because it just grabs.
Of course, you commandeered them for the kitchen.
I've always used them there. Because always use suppressor covers. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. I've cooked bacon on one. They get hot.
They do get hot.
Like, really hot.
You know, and usually if I've got one hot, I'll set it off to the side, let it cool down a little bit before I mess with it.
I had a girlfriend in high school that was really hot, but I had to retract my statement because she was evil. So I don't know how that works.
Well, now you're starting to get to the hot crazy scale.
Well, some of those suppressors are kind of crazy. Have you seen the all 3D printed ones now?
I've seen a couple of them.
Yeah, you can't machine that possibly, but they're really quiet.
Oh,
3D printed, not out of plastic, then.
Good. So no, that ex-girlfriend of mine, she was not quiet, so it doesn't it doesn't play. Perfect.
Wow.
She was evil, and she was hot, but she wasn't quiet, so it doesn't apply.
Yeah, well. I'm not going there.
Wow, he has nothing.
I got nothing on that. Nope.
So, suppressors, right? we are in an age where the ATF is on shaky ground of being in existence.
Mm-hmm.
If that goes, the NFL will go too.
Well, I did see where there's a bill introduced, and I know there's a senator and a congressman working together to introduce basically concurrent bills. One will go through the Senate, one will go through the House at the same time, to take short-barreled rifles, short-barrel shotguns, any other weapons off the NFA.
Interesting. Okay.
Which, once you start doing that, and if the Shush Act passes, there's really nothing left for the ATF to do.
So why exactly were the short barrels controlled anyway? It's a shorter barrel. It still shoots.
The idea is the that same. You could take this massive firepower and conceal it. That's where the short-barreled rifle issue became.
Still, I want to see you put that in a holster.
Well, no, the thing about, but you got to remember, back when this was passed, what, 1934?
For the Suppressor Act for NFA. Yeah. Yep.
So that was back when men actually dressed like men, and they typically would wear trench coats. You could hide pretty substantial weaponry under that.
And short-barreled rifles and any other weapons came into play in the NFA in the 80s when our DEA agents were running into MAC-10s and Uzis that had the barrel cut. And they were concealing those in shoulder rigs underneath their coat in Florida. So it was a concealable issue. And some sawed-off shotguns got put into the mix. And I will tell you, if you've ever torched off a 12-gauge that's cut below regulation, that's 18 inches, it's a substantial thing to hold on to. So I can see where they made the case that, yeah, that's more dangerous and needs to be controlled. But that's not the argument he's talking about here. He's trying to make them not firearm-related and ban them.
Because he wants to ban them. But if he makes them non-firearm-related, then they're not controlled anymore. They're just a metal tube.
So we can go down to Napa and pick up a suppressor.
Right.
I like it.
This would be good.
This would be great. Just like it would be anywhere else in the world. Where it's kind of rude to shoot without one.
Right.
You can go down to the do-it-all hardware store, and they got a pipe threader in the back. You buy it, you tell them what thread pitch you need, they fix it for you, and you walk out the door for $75. Ask me how I know.
That's perfect.
I did it in South Africa for two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they work really well.
Oh, those are nice cans.
Yeah.
And you pay, they were what, $75?
They were $75 a piece.
Yeah. But still.
Yeah. The tax stamp cost a whole lot more than that.
Right. Yeah, you bought two of them for less than one tax stamp.
Correct. And everywhere else, it's rude to shoot without one, right?
Right.
So it is truly an accessory that's just a muffler.
Well, and when I was teaching classes in Mexico, those suppressors down there, it's the same way. You can buy a suppressor at a hardware store. Now, firearms are a little harder to come by. They're regulated like crazy like it is in South Africa, but the suppressor, they look at it as a safety device.
Firearms are very, very regulated in South Africa. But we went into a safari store, and on the upper floor, they had a tack room that was available for everybody to purchase. You had to have a PH license and submit to some background check. But you could buy an M60.
Yeah.
I saw one sitting there.
They had some substantial firearms in there. I was shocked.
Yeah. I was kind of dumbfounded at what was on that wall.
Yeah.
For civilian purchase.
Yeah. I mean, I was looking at Accuracy Internationals going, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a Modus in there.
Now, it was like 480,000 Rand, but...
Oh, they're expensive. Don't get me wrong.
Well, no, I mean, they're not. You had to look at the conversion rate.
Well, 480,000 Rand. Yeah, that's like $50.
Something like that.
A lot more than that.
I mean, you're talking about $5,000, but still... It's funny, though, to see that, and I saw the same thing in Mexico, where it's like, you know, I'm looking at a Glock, and it's like 15,000 pesos.
Yeah, that's, huh. I don't know how that works out exchange rate-wise. How's Glock even make money doing that?
I don't know. Well, in the exchange rate, it you know, you were looking at $500-$600.
True. About the same.
So, yeah, I mean, about the same as what we pay, but when you see it in other currencies, and it's just these wild, crazy numbers, like I said, that Accuracy International, it was pushing 400,000 Rand. But at the exchange rate at the time was like 20 to 1.
Wow. I mean, I went one time into Tokyo into a they call it a weapons shop, and it had katanas and bladed edged weapons. I remember one hanging on the wall there, and it was not their fancy side, but it was 2 billion yen.
Jeez.
Now that worked out to be about $10,000, but it was an actual period piece katana.
Right.
But when I saw billion, I thought, holy Christ. I had a yen penny in my pocket. That'd be a lot of dump trucks to hold on to one of those.
Right. Right.
So exchange rates, you got to understand what you're looking at. But with suppressors, if you can pick them up everywhere on the planet except the U.S. at a hardware store.
Right.
Our crime rate is not near what some of the crime rates were the countries were talking about.
No. No, not even close.
So they're not a scary piece of equipment.
No.
And like you said a million times, if they were invented today, they'd be mandatory equipment for a safety purpose.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely
so
would be.
I think his argument was misled, and I hope it gets turned and used because that needs to come off the list.
Right? Yeah. Talk to your NRA guys.
I know a few of those boys, and we will be having that conversation. We're headed into weird times. The NRA is getting back on its feet. The ATF's looking like it's going to be on shaky ground, if not go away. If that does, the NFA goes away by proxy. And it'll be the FBI's job, if it's ever used in a nefarious way,
to run NICS, which is it's their job anyway.
That's right. The background checks run through them anyway.
Right. So
this is a good time to live in.
Holy crap. This kind of flew by.
Are we at time already?
We're getting to time. I got one more funny before we get out of here. I saw it on the news yesterday. So there was a judge that tried to throw an injunction against Trump firing all the DEI hires in the Secret Service. And so Trump said, okay, fine. So he reassigned all of these hires to Obama, to Clinton, to Biden, and they all three of them dismissed them and asked for new agents.
So they could be fired by their protectee.
Right. But Trump can't get rid of them.
See, in Article 2 strictly says that the judicial side can't interfere with the executive side.
Right.
So I think that's going to go away, too.
Oh, that's fun times. It's going to be interesting. But I will leave you guys with this before we get out of here. Things are still crazy. The idiots that are going around and torching Teslas, and there's command and control there. This is not random stuff. So keep your head on a swivel. We're not out of the woods yet.
Don't park next to a Tesla.
No, I wouldn't do that anyway.
You're inviting the problem. Beside the fact that they go up in flames and their battery's done, you're inviting people to come do stupid shit next to your car.
Right. Right. Something to think about. So I got something kind of special planned for next week that nobody else knows about yet, but you guys will find out here next week. And until then, keep blaming your gun.